Well, that's exactly what we're doing here today. We are seeking the Lord, and it's good to see every one of you. And a happy Father's Day to all our fathers. And I know that there will be many souls in heaven because of good, godly fathers who led their families in the right way, led them to church, led them through the practicing of God's will. And we're thankful for them. But we have another Father that we're giving honor to today, and that's our Heavenly Father. And He is worthy of all of our praises, and we're thankful to Him for this very day and this very moment that we have together. We're going to study from Revelation 5 today, and the title of our lesson is Worthy Art Thou. Worthy is the Lamb, and worthy is Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is a book that we need to know, and it has wonderful blessings and those messages that we receive from it. Now, the book of Revelation is a book written to a church in times of tribulation. Revelation 1 in verse number 9. The Apostle John was a brother in tribulation with the church. And even though the church was in tribulation, they needed to stay true to the Word of God. That's what Revelation 2 and 3 are about, is rebuking the churches and admonishing the churches to remain true to the gospel of Christ, and they had veered away from that. And then in chapter 4, we have an open door in heaven. We studied about that last week. There was an open door, and when John looked through that open door, and aren't you glad heaven has an open door? There's an open door, and we're thankful for it. God's not trying to shut us out of heaven. God wants us to know what's in heaven. And in that great vision of Revelation 4, through the open door, John saw one sitting on the throne, and he appeared as a jasper stone and as a sardian stone, very beautiful to behold. And above that throne, you may recall, there was a rainbow, an emerald rainbow. We want to be chasers of the rainbow. We want to chase after and seek after that rainbow over the throne of God. And then there was about the throne, there were the 24 elders, or the 24 elders, and they had crowns on their head. And the 12 and the 12 seemed to symbolize the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. By the way, there's great symbolism in the book of Revelation, as you very well know, symbolizing all the redeemed. We will receive crowns. It's called a crown of life in Revelation 2 and 10. It's called a crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. A crown of righteousness is laid up in heaven for us. Now, those 24 elders took those crowns off of their heads, and they cast them before the throne of God. They honored the God who was on that great throne, and they gave great acclaim and great honor to Him. And in verse 11 of Revelation 4, it says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, and Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. We're here because God was pleased to make us. God was pleased to make the earth, and He was pleased to make man in His own image, and we're glad of that. We're thankful for the blessing of life. So we're glad for the message of the book of Revelation. It's a message where God says, look, there's trouble on the earth, but there's not trouble in heaven. God's still on the throne in heaven, though there may be tribulation and anguish on the earth. And of course, as we've mentioned already in our Bible class, the church was suffering. They needed courage. Now that brings us to chapter 5 of the book of Revelation. And that door is still open, and John's still looking by way of that vision, being in the Spirit, the Bible says. And he not only saw one sitting on the throne, but notice what else he saw. In verse 1, And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, that's God the Father, he was sitting on the throne, and he had something in his right hand. Now the right hand is where Christ is sitting. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 through 3, after he had made reconciliation for the sins of the people, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. God has something in his right hand. And he sat on the throne a book written. There was a message in that book. God had in his right hand a message, a book. Now, this is not the kind of book God had. This is called a codex. A codex where it has pages in it. But back in those days, the book were written on scrolls. And so in his right hand, there was a book written, but here's the explanation of that. Within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. So it was rolled up. It's written on the front of the scroll. It's written on the back of the scroll. And then there were seven seals on that book, keeping that book closed. And so it was a message. And that message was in God's right hand. And there were seven seals. That number seven appears over and over and over in the Bible. There are 7 days to a week. There were the seven spirits of God. There's seven over and over in this book. And the seven seals is a sacred, it's sacredly sealed. And I saw a strong angel, not a weak angel. The angels of God are strong and powerful. God is strong. God is powerful. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, not a little tiny whisper, but he was proclaiming with a loud voice, the Bible says, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Who's worthy? So this angel is speaking, a strong angel with a loud voice. Who's worthy to open this book, to start opening these seals? And it says in verse 3, and no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Of all the people who've lived on the face of the earth, Moses and Noah and Samuel and all the great prophets, Daniel, there was no one worthy to open the book. No apostle. The apostle Paul was a great servant of God. But there was no one in heaven. There was no one on earth. There was no one under the earth that could open the seals of the book and to look therein. This was a message from God. But how are we going to know the message? No one is worthy to open the book. And it says in verse 4, and I wept much. And we were reading this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 1, the tears of Timothy. Here's the tears of the Apostle John. He says, I wept much. You know, it's like I've got an important message, but we don't know what the message is. No one's worthy to open the book. And so John wept because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. No man was worthy. Moses wasn't worthy. Noah wasn't worthy. David, Solomon, Daniel, Ezekiel, no man was worthy. Peter, James and John, Paul, no man was worthy to open the book. Not even those who had been slain for the cause of Christ, such as Stephen and others. No man was worthy to open the book. Beloved, we're not worthy. He is. He is worthy. And one of the elders, verse 5, said unto me, weep not. Stop crying. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That comes from a verse in the book of Genesis, chapter 49, and verses 9 and 10. A great prophecy that from the tribe of Judah one would come that would hold the scepter. And he says, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, or the descendant of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. So there was only one. There was only one that was worthy to open the book. You know, the Bible says in Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, of all the names in the world, all the names that have been named to people, there's only one name that men can be saved by, and it's not Muhammad. I'm sorry if someone gets offended by that, but that's just too bad. You're not going to be saved by the name of Muhammad. There's only one name, and it's the name of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. We are not ashamed of that name. And so that is the name. That is the only name. He is a lion. He is bold. He is courageous. Beloved, he left heaven. You had to be bold to do that. I've said many times, once I get to heaven, I don't want to come back to this earth. But Jesus Christ left heaven, and he came to this earth. He was bold to do that. He was bold to come to this earth knowing that he would be despised and rebuked and beaten and smitten and bruised and insulted. He had to be bold as a lion to come and to be hung upon a cross. There's only one that hung on the cross that we can be saved by, and that's Jesus Christ. There were two others that were hung with him on that day on the crosses, but they're not the ones. They're not worthy. Only one. He's a lion. He's bold. And we're thankful for that. Our Savior is bold. But when John looked, he says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne." Where's Christ? Well, he was smitten. He was bruised. He was put to death. They ran a spear through his side. He was buried. Yeah, but he rose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. And he ascended up into heaven. Acts chapter 1. And now he's in the midst of the throne. The church needed that message in the first century. The church needs that message today in the 21st century. We need this message that there is in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts. There are these four cherubims with beautiful features there. In the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns. There's that number seven again, that sacred number. And seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the world. And that seven spirits were mentioned before and earlier. We believe that to be the Holy Spirit. And so there's Jesus, there's his Father, they're in a throne, they're on heaven. They're surrounded by those beautiful heavenly beings. They're surrounded by the 24 elders there. There's where Christ is. We need that message today. When people want to say that Christ was just a man, Christ was just an ordinary person, he was not the Son of God, that's not what the Bible says. Now, the Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 4, "Let God be true and every man a liar." And so if men do not say what the Bible says, I'm going to believe the Bible. There was a lamb as it had been slain. Now, there's not a real lion, is there? There's not a real lamb, is there? Those are representative. Those are symbols of Christ. Christ is bold like a lion, but he's meek like a lamb. And we're thankful to have such a Savior and such a King and a ruler as that. He's bold. He's not afraid. But he's meek and he's gentle like a lamb. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the character of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the Lamb is one that we are drawn to. Yes, he's bold, but we come to him for protection. And he's as a lamb, and we come to him for help and for grace. And so that's what's in the book of Revelation. A scene of heaven, an open door in heaven, and there's the Savior there in heaven, and he is worthy. Verse 7 says, "And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." He was the only one that could take the book. Angels couldn't take it. The cherubim, the seraphim couldn't take the book. Only Christ, the one who was God, came to the earth, became a man, rejected of the world, abused, smitten, beaten, insulted, reviled. He's the one that is worthy. And he took the book from the right hand of God. Isn't that beautiful? And verse 8 says, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." That ought to comfort every one of us. How many prayers have you said last week? How many prayers are you going to say this week? You know where those prayers go? they go right up to the throne of God. There's an open door in heaven, and our prayers go straight to the great mediator of man. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And so those prayers are going up to Him. And we're very thankful. We're comforted. The church back then needed to hear this message. And the church today needs to hear this message. And notice what they're doing in heaven. They're doing in heaven what we're doing on the earth. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood." And then notice what it says. Who can be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? That blood that was flowing. By the way, there was not just blood flowing from the side of Christ. There was blood and water. Blood and water. There's water in the plan of God. And there was blood and water. Don't you think that's significant that the Bible points that out? That there was blood and water. Baptism has a place in a plan of salvation. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. And verse 10 says, "And hast made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Beloved, God didn't make us paupers. He made us rich. Our treasures are laid up in heaven. And we are rich, not in earthly ways, but in heavenly ways. And so He has a great role for us. I look forward to heaven. I know that God has great plans even still, and that we're going to be a part of those plans. I know the angels were a part of His plan as well, and they were privileged to be in heaven to assist God in whatever ways we don't know. All the ways that they assisted God, we do know that they brought messages to the earth. They were helpful. They had duties and responsibilities. Now we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be in heaven to serve God. I don't know what future plans God has, but we're going to be able to be there. Not as little peons and paupers, but we're going to be there as kings and priests. It's a beautiful thing that God has designed for us. "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them." Now watch this number. So of course it's symbolic. But symbolic of what? Symbolic of innumerable. Was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You know, heaven is highly populated. Heaven is a big place. Heaven's not some small place. It's enormous. Saying, and what were those thousands times 10,000s and thousands of thousands? What were they saying? Saying with a loud voice. You know, when we sing, we are to sing on out. And sing out boldly and thankfully and unashamedly. What were they saying? "Worthy is the Lamb." That's the title of our lesson today. Worthy is the Lamb. He is worthy. "That was slain." He died on the cross. Nails through His hands and through His feet. Lashes. Lash marks. Lash wounds. All over His body. Wherever that Roman man or Roman men. We don't know if there's one man or several men beating on Christ and lashing His body. He was slain for us. To receive. Now I'm going to count. Watch this. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Seven. Seven accolades. There's that number seven. It's been repeated over and over in this chapter. Seven accolades. Sacred accolades. Complete accolades. And that's what we want to do to Him as well. That's what they're doing in heaven. They're giving Him great praise, great great prestige in heaven. They're magnifying His name in heaven. If you don't like to magnify His name on the earth, how in the world do you think you're going to enjoy heaven? Beloved, we need to worship. We need to worship over and over and more. That's what's going on in heaven. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such are as in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever, forever and ever. What's going to happen in heaven? Ever, forever and ever, everlastingly. Praise and honor and glory will be given to His name. Have you enjoyed today giving praise and honor and glory to the Lord? If you enjoy it now, then you'll enjoy it later. You'll enjoy that great... You know, I'm glad we have one Wednesday night where we just sing and sing and sing. We do that 12 Wednesday nights in a year. We sing and sing and sing praises to the Lord. Isn't that good? Isn't that fitting? He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. By the way, this is where Brother Tillett S. Tedley got the idea to write a song, Worthy Art Thou. And so everyone is going to be praising the Lord in heaven. If you don't like praising Him now, if you don't like church now, you're not going to like heaven, because that's what it's going to be. It's going to be church service. We're going to be up there worshiping the Lord. And then the Bible says, and the four beasts said, Amen. They praised Him and they said, Amen. You know what that means? So be it. So be it. He's worthy of praise. So be it. Amen. The 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. They worshipped the Father. They worshipped the Son. They worshipped Him forever and ever. Heaven's going to be a glorious place. Now with the few minutes that we have left, I want to read some of the seals. They're found in chapter 6. Some of the seals. That book, he's got the book now. He's got it in his hand. Now he's going to start opening those seals. Now the message is known. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, Come and see. It was a vision. Come and see this vision. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. You know, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, so we know this is a vision. It's just a vision of a horse. The horse represents something. It's a white horse. It represents purity. And he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So many believe, and I believe also, this is the gospel. The gospel went forth to conquer. This is our sword. This is our armor. This is what we fight our battle with. We take the gospel into the world, and that's certainly what they did. Revelation 10 and Colossians 1 both say that the gospel went into every creature under heaven. To conquer, conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see, look at this. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. You know, Christ came to bring not peace, he said, but division. There shall be five in one house divided, two against three and three against two, he said. Father will be against son and son against the father, mother against the daughter and daughter against the mother, and mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. That's what he said. And so another horse comes out and he's red. He takes peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. And so when the gospel went out, guess what? Christians began to die. Christians began to be put in prison. And the Apostle Paul, who was known at one time as Saul of Tarsus, he was one of the leaders of that. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast come, say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat upon him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And so it seems like food was going to become scarce. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death and Hell, at death, and hell followed him. And the power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Christians were killed during that first century, and second century, and third century. Nero and Domitian. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, what's this? What'd you see under that fifth seal? Here's the message of it. The souls of them that were slain. The red horse, the black horse, the sword. There were souls under the altar that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. That's why Paul died, as we've been reading and studying the second letter of Timothy. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" It was terrible. It was terrible. And they were wondering, when are we going to get our justice? And so those people were being killed viciously and violently. And they said, "Where's our justice?" And they cried with a loud voice. And then verse 11, and white robes were given unto every one of them. You know, that's who's in heaven, those with the white robes. And so those that had died, they have white robes, were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Not yet. Justice not yet. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth and hair, and the moon became as blood. Now we read about that in Acts chapter 2. That's a great day, a day of judgment. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Turbulent things are going to come. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their place. You know, the earth is going to be destroyed in one of these days coming. Earth is going to be destroyed. And the kings of the earth, the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand?" The book with the seven seals has a tremendous message. It has a message that of the gospel going forth, of trouble coming to God's people, death coming to God's people. But those who cause them hurt and harm, a great day of judgment is coming to them. That was the sixth seal. And we'll study chapter 7 tonight. The 144,000 are who we're going to talk about tonight. The 144,000. We're thankful that our God has told us of these things. Now, there's a great day coming, and it's not going to be good for those who are enemies of the Lord. Now, Christ is worthy. I want to read the words of this song. We'll sing it the last of all today, but turn to 656. This was a song written by our brother in Christ about this very passage that we're reading about here. And I want to just read these words and we'll sing them later. 656. Worthy of praise is Christ our Redeemer. Worthy of glory, honor, and power. worthy of all our soul's adoration. Worthy art thou, worthy art thou. Lift up the voice in praise and devotion. Saints of all earth before him should bow. Angels in heaven are worship him, saying, worthy art thou, worthy art thou. Lord, may we come before thee with singing, filled with thy spirit, wisdom, and power. May we ascribe glory and honor. Worthy art thou, worthy art thou. Worthy of riches, blessings, and honor. Worthy of wisdom, glory, and power. Worthy of earth and heaven's thanksgiving. Worthy art thou, worthy art thou. I'm glad that brother wrote that song, because we can sing that song. That's a song right out of the Bible. We're to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's a spiritual song. That's a hymn. We're glad to sing that song. Now, beloved, the Lamb died for us, but he's like a lion as well. We need to realize that and humble ourselves before him. He's worthy of all of our praises, but he's worthy of our devotion and our loyalty. Have you given him your life? Have you give your life to Christ and to serve him? If you'll give your life for him, he will honor you with crowns in the future when we come to that great day of judgment. I don't know of anything sweeter than that. How could someone say, no, I don't want a crown. No, I don't want a place in heaven. How can anybody say that? They should say, yes, yes, I want a crown. I want eternal life. I want immortality and life. I want it through the gospel. I want to have that life that the gospel offers. Well, there's a way to start that life. And Jesus told his disciples before he left this world, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Every language. It doesn't make any difference if you're from Nigeria, Dominican Republic, Jamaica, New Zealand, Australia, you're an Aborigine, or you're a Caucasian, or you're an American Indian. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in his sight. God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted unto him. Acts 10:34-35. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You can't state it any clearer than that. That's the words of our Lord from Mark 16:16. But on the other hand, it says, he that believeth not shall be damned. That's not my words. That's the words of Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed of his word. And so you need to be saved. You must be saved. You must comply to his will. You must be baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There's neither bond nor free, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither male nor female. For you're all one man in Christ Jesus. And if you're in Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What a wonderful passage that is. That tells us what baptism does. Baptism puts us into Christ. Puts us in there where the grace is and where the salvation and redemption is. It's in Christ. There's a great scene in heaven that we just read about in Revelation chapter 5. It's a great scene. I want to be a part of that scene. I want to be there. I want to be there around that great throne where the Lamb is, where the Lion of the tribe of Judah is. Don't you want to be there too? Submit your life to him today. You'll be glad. There's no way you'll be sorry, and you'll regret in eternity the life that is provided for you. Humble yourself and say, I'm not worthy. He is worthy. And I want to obey his will, and I want to have his mercy and his peace and his goodness upon me. If you've drifted away from the Lord, come back. Come home. He's your Father. You will be coming home to him, to your Father that created you and made you and given you a life and given you a soul and a human physical body. You'll be coming back to him. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?